Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now I was going to put it up here. Again, trouble with technology now is added to sight, memory, and other things. So I had problems getting God's word on the computer. I don't know what's going on. It's a rough week. So I'm going to read it for you. Pretend we're going back about 15 years and you're going to be okay. All right? And if you have to close your eyes, sometimes I feel closing your eyes helps retain it just a little bit better. So, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, to that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. So, Paul made it his goal to glorify God in all things. He said that he hasn't even accomplished the end goal. So he's trying to do something that we all strive for. I'm going to talk about a little bit about a mindset here in a minute. But if the Apostle Paul, who was radically saved by Jesus Christ, blinded, like a lot, he did some stuff, man. And he encountered Jesus on the road. He's made vital contributions to the New Testament. If he has not made the final goal, if he has not finished the race at this point, wow, then I guess we haven't either, right? Like, how many of you have finished this race of the journey of Christianity, the journey of having to glorify God? Has anyone out there done that? Don't put your hand up. I'm in big trouble if you do. You haven't finished. We haven't finished it. And this clearly states that we're not going to finish it here, okay? There's an end result. Now, if he hasn't arrived at, I think it's safe to say that we're not there yet. And there are a lot of smart people out there, a lot of people that know their Bible well, that haven't arrived yet. There are some people that don't know their Bible very well. They haven't arrived yet. It's equal, okay? So whether or not you know a ton of Bible, whether you can spout it off, whether it's in your heart, it doesn't matter. You still have not arrived. And in our Christian journey, apathy can sneak in. Pride. They both can deteriorate our effectiveness in growth with Christ. Okay, as we're moving on this journey to get to know Jesus better, to get to know God better, to be better people, to grow in our own faith and understand why we're here, what our purpose is here on earth, sometimes we can be distracted because of apathy. Sometimes we can be distracted because of pride. Pride is a funny little thing. It makes you not want to do something because I don't have to. And we do that in little areas. And catch yourself this week. Catch yourself this week when you're going around. If somebody asks you to do something and you don't want to because it doesn't interest you or it's not in your interest, but it's in their interest, how you respond is the key. How you respond is the key. If you have some pride in your life, because well, that's I don't do that. I don't do these things, these petty little things. I don't pick paper off the ground. Those types, all right? Think about it. See what happens. See if somebody asks. If your spouse, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, whatever, asks you to do something, and you're like, huh, taking out the garbage? Why? We can take out the garbage. Take out the garbage. This is for all you parents who have trouble with the kids taking out the garbage. Take out the garbage, okay? Pride gets in, and it comes in those ways. It comes in slow, simple, little ways that we allow. And then when it comes to something bigger, we don't want to do it. So be careful of that. And apathy is just, you're not interested. Whatever. And so in Christianity, it's like, oh, I'll read my Bible later. I don't need to. Or I'm just, it's there in this vicinity. So as long as I walk by my Bible, the power of God will just pour into me and I don't have to look at it, right? So it's all good. It's good. So in our Christian journey, when these things come in, how can we keep a godly perspective? How can we keep a godly perspective and pursue the Christian goal without giving up? And you say, well, what's the Christian goal? The Christian goal is Jesus, right? It's not us, it's Him. And when we focus on Him and Him only, that's when you start to realize, oh, there is a bigger picture, there is a purpose in my life. But when we allow all these other things to get in the way, it gets muddy, we get confused, and then pride, apathy sneak in, and all of a sudden our relationship with God deteriorates. And so how can we have this? Well, first of all, Scripture is very clear in verse 1 of chapter 4, at the end of this, he says, stand firm. He said, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. That's actually the next slide, in case you're wondering. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, meaning putting Christ first. He says, stand firm. And so how do we stand firm? Because you can say, oh, I can stand firm and I can plant my feet and I cannot move. So there's a very fine line between stand firm and I'm just stubborn. Yes? Anyone been stubborn here before? I'm not going to use any examples. I can be stubborn. Have you ever been stubborn? And this happens a lot with Michelle and I. I'm not going to use an example because I get in trouble when I do that. But where I now realize I'm wrong, but I'm going to go for it anyways. Have you ever been there? So we're talking something through and I'm like, nope, that's not it. You're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And she's like, I'm not wrong. I'm like, you're wrong. And I have a tendency to make sure she realizes she's wrong, but she doesn't accept it. She's not accepting of me telling her. And so if I say you're wrong, she's like, she usually doesn't say it if she doesn't know it's true, just because I'll call her out. And so at one point I decide I'm going to stand firm in my wrongness. It's not a word, but anyways, you know what I'm saying. I will stand firm. I will fight to the death until it just becomes, I forgot what I was talking about and what my argument was. And then I'm lost. And she goes, and she sees it. She goes, I see it. I see where you now know you're wrong. And I'm like, I'm not wrong, but I'm going to let you have this. I'm going to let you have this because I'm a gracious person. And I enjoy handing all grace to her. So I'm stubborn, right? I can be stubborn. But I have to add here, she was wrong one day. Yes, one day. And I am going to use this example because I think you'll learn from it as well. Yeah. It's a simple thing that when you are in a roundabout, you must signal to get out, right? Yes, you do. I know this because I tell Michelle every day I'm a professional driver. They need to know what you're doing. I was on 16th Avenue. You all know 16th Avenue is a very, very fast, just yesterday, All of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody in front of me just decides to stop. No reason whatsoever. I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand what's happening. I can't pass. It's a double solid. Okay? People do dangerous things all the time. Therefore, if you were going to stop on the road, which I don't suggest you do just randomly for no reason, I would suggest you put your blinkers on and pull over. Let others know what you're doing. When you are in a roundabout, you must signal. So we had this discussion in the car. I went through the roundabout, I signaled. Question, you know you don't have to signal. That's not correct, you are wrong. She's like, I am not wrong. Oh, you're wrong, you're so wrong. I'm in pain, you're so wrong. So she's like, yeah, pulls up her phone. She's gonna prove me once and for all. And as she pulls it up, dead silence. This happened to me once. So standing firm. We need to stand firm. And Scripture says that a lot. It says stand firm. How do we stand firm? Well, make better choices. Make informed choices. And ask yourself the question, where is God in my daily decisions? You see, listen, if you're going to stand firm, you got to know what you're standing firm on. Okay? You need to know why you're standing firm. In my cases, it gets to a point where I'm just standing firm to stand firm. It's called pride. And then of course, it's called forgetfulness, and then I can't remember how to argue. I'm not a very good debater in that way. But we let it seep in. And so we don't make informed decisions. And see, Paul is saying right here, he's saying, I'm an honest person. He's saying, when it comes to where I am with God, I haven't made it. I don't have the final perfection in Christ. He doesn't say he's perfect, but he does realize that it's a long way to go on his journey to get there. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to take time. No one ever said that being a Christian would be easy. We have it fairly easy here in Canada at this point, but that doesn't mean we always will. And are we able to stand firm when we need to? Now, I'm not a huge political activist. I'm not out there at rallies and doing all these kind of things. But when they start to say we can't worship God, then I'm going to get mad. Okay? Until that day comes, then I'm not. But they can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. I will vote in who I believe my values, and hopefully you do the same for your values. And there is no specific party that's only Christian, so everybody knows here. In our church, you can be, well, I don't really want to, NDP, you can be conservative, you can be liberal. Man, I don't care what party you are. You can be Christian Heritage. You could even be the marijuana party supporter. You're welcome here, okay? And I know you're like, wow, marijuana? Yes. I'm not pro-marijuana, but if you support and they're not doing anything illegal, you're allowed to be here. We're all allowed to be in this community, whatever political party you stand for. Okay, if there comes a Satanist party, we're not going to let you in. But other than that, you're welcome, okay? So just because somebody is a liberal doesn't mean they're not a Christian. And just because somebody is conservative, it's the same in the States. I know people who are Christian Republicans and Christian Democrats, I know it. Does it blow your mind? You're not supposed to answer. The thing is, there's Christians on both sides, okay? And their beliefs may vary a little bit, but there are Christians on both sides. So right now in Canada, we need to stand firm on a lot of things. But when the time comes, are you ready? Are you able to do that? There are times in our lives where we start to think that, and this is where when apathy and pride and all these things come in, and troubles in life, when we can't stand firm, when we feel it's difficult to stand firm, there are times in our lives when we start to think we are the only ones that are struggling. We are the only ones that struggle, and no one else could possibly understand the struggles that we are going through. And what follows that, as soon as we go there, as soon as our head goes in that space, what happens is we have a pity party. What happens after the pity party? What happens after we feel sorry for ourselves? Guess what? Poor choices, bad decisions, because you feel sorry for yourself and I want to make myself feel better. So I'm going to make decisions that are going to make me feel better, but they're not the best decisions. And so we do that because we feel sorry for ourselves. And also, we feel sorry for ourselves and we make poor choices because it's difficult to stand firm and do the right thing. It's not always easy, especially when everyone else around you isn't on the same page. It's a lot easier to give up. It's a lot easier to ignore. It's a lot easier to become apathetic and just go, it'll all work itself out. And it's also a lot easier to feel sorry for ourselves. And so we just sit there and continue to make poor decisions. You know, I think about the Ride to Conquer Cancer. And I did it 4 years, I think. When you see a yellow flag come by, you know that's a cancer survivor. And I think of all the ones that actually didn't survive, that aren't able to. They're not here anymore because of cancer. And I think of how that mindset and how that strength that they have to get through cancer, to go through cancer, even just go through cancer and not win, the strength and how they have to be strong. And I always equate faith to this, as in, if the things come, if the bad things come, if the struggles come, if I'm persecuted, will I be able to fight through that? And will I give up at the first sign of trouble? I remember riding in this, and it's a couple hundred K or 160K a day. I can't remember how many. And I literally got into Blaine. So we started here in Cloverdale. I got into Blaine, Washington. And I got a flat right away. That was a blast. And then I got further up, I got into Bellingham, and I started getting leg cramps. Like hamstrings and calf, just like that, like rock solid. And it's painful, it's painful. So I'm going up a hill, and as soon as I get to this one hill, I get halfway up, and they cramp. And so I unclip as quick as I can, because if you don't clip, you're going to fall over. And I've done that. It's embarrassing. So I stopped, and there was this lady getting stuff out of her car, but I stopped right beside her door, and my legs were so locked up, I couldn't move. So I'm sitting on my bike like this, and I'm trying to figure out which way I could stretch. How do I get these cramps out? People say, well, if you drank a lot more water, well, that would have been, you know, that would have been great if I did, but I didn't. I had a lot of espresso prior, and that probably dehydrated me. And as I'm standing there, she wants to get in her car. I can't move. And I said, I'm really sorry. My legs are completely locked, cramped, and I can't move. She started laughing. And as I went through this day, this happened time and time again. They would loosen up. I'd be like, oh, okay. Sometimes instantly, as I would pedal, they'd lock right up again. And the struggle I had with that, I'm like, you know what? I just need to quit. I need to stop this. This is not working for me today. And comes a yellow flag. And I'm like, I think I can handle a few cramps. I think I can handle a few cramps. And it was a battle all day. And that whole weekend was brutal just because of that reason. We can't give up. We need to stand firm. And it's too easy to say it's not working out today because there's a difficult road. It's too easy to just say, let's wrap it up and go home. Maybe we'll try tomorrow. And then sometimes tomorrow doesn't come. And so in order to pursue this Christian goal, in order to pursue Jesus and have a godly perspective, we need to stand firm. We can't give up. Too many times in our lives, we think that no one can relate to our problems, so we never reach out for help. There are many of us in this congregation that have gone through things, difficult times in the past. Those experiences, you can help others. You can reach out to others. If you're going through that, there are people here that know what you're going through. They can walk you through those struggles. And in a true sense of community, God's people will reach out compassionately and graciously. And that's what we strive for here at this church at West Winds, is to reach out. No judgment, just grace and compassion. And so when things collapse around us, don't give up. When things collapse around you, stand firm in your faith and continue towards the goal. Secondly, keep our minds on Christ. Verses 19 and 20 of chapter 3 say that. Keep your mind on Christ. You see, when you wake up in the morning, how many people turn on the TV and watch the news? How many do that? Yeah, so we do it, right? There's a lot of negative stuff on the news. And if we're filling our minds with that on a regular basis, the first thing we do when we get up in the morning, how do you think your day's going to go? Not the greatest, right? Global, CTV, all those things are always negative. They're even getting gorier. They're putting even more details and pictures and showing things that have happened because everybody has a camera, so they're showing it on TV. And you don't really want to or need to see that type of stuff because it sets you up. It sets you up for a negative-filled day. I know when I'm at the fire hall, I wake up in the morning, I go downstairs, that silly thing's on all the time, right? Because we're always watching it to see if there's something going down or whatever. I just get tired of it. And so a lot of times I just change the channel, something funny, something that's better than that, because we don't need it all the time. And if you're filling your mind with that, you're getting your perspective from that. And that can be very dangerous. It also focuses your attention on the wrong things. News normally doesn't show anything that's fun, like that's exciting, right? Most of the 99% of the information is bad stuff that happened. Who got shot? Who got murdered? Who's missing? Which house got burnt to the ground? People inside? Like all that kind of stuff is still there. You rarely see, you know, puppies. You rarely see that. You might see it occasionally. But not a lot. You don't see any of that because that's not great news, right? It's not big news. They want you to keep watching. They want you to follow that. And how are you spending your time when you have it? What is a practical way to keep your mind away from those earthly things right away in the morning? It doesn't mean never watch things. It just means, is that what you're filling your mind with first thing in the morning? Because you want to point it towards the reality of God. You don't want to point it to all the negative and bad things. We all know negative things, bad things happen. And so are you starting and finishing your day? How are you doing that? Are you doing it with scripture? If you're doing it with your Bible, are you, you know, how are you doing that? Are you reading something, watching something that's educational, Christian-wise, that's going to grow you? Or is it TV and news? Nonsense. I get it. I'm a big fan of sometimes just turning something on TV and it being ridiculously mind-numbing nonsense. I prefer that because I don't have to think about it sometimes. And I get that. But there has to be time set aside with scripture. There has to be time set aside in prayer. So how are you keeping your mind on Christ? Are you keeping your mind on the things of Christ, which is other people? Ways to reach out. A good way to recognize if you are at risk in this area, you need to ask yourself, how much time am I spending in prayer? And how much time am I spending in the scriptures? And if you're struggling to keep your thoughts on the things of Christ, then it's maybe time to fast from TV. It's maybe time to fast from social media and emails and internet. Maybe if you're so distracted that you can't stop looking at your phone for 2 seconds because you got to check your status and what the next tweet is and who emailed you and what's going on here and there, it's time to take a fast. If you have to have that ridiculous thing in your hand all the time, you got to take some time from it. You have to take some time from it. You have a computer in your hand. Put it down. You know, if you go back in the days when I grew up in grade 11, we had Apple computers, and they were the size of this thing. If I was carrying this thing around all day long because I had to be connected, it would look pretty stupid, right? I have to carry this everywhere I go. This is exhausting. I'd never get anywhere. It's the same with this. Put it down. Come to it when you need it, but take that time away from it just enough so that you can focus on God, your relationship with Him. How are some ways we can do that? Well, get rid of the distractions. Phone is a distraction. If Netflix is a distraction, I have to get all seasons of Downton Abbey right now. I have to get them all in my head right now, because if I don't, my whole week will be horrible. Take a break. Take a break, right? Binge watching. Come on. Have you ever binged Bible studied? Yeah, you laugh, don't you? You're like, that would be so boring. Binge Bible study. Binge read your Bible for 14 hours. I bet you've never done that before. I know I've binged wrote a paper. It's called procrastination, because it was due the next day. It sounds silly if I say binge Bible reading, because that's ridiculous. But it's not. Our society has told you that that's a waste of time. Sit in front of the TV with a bag of popcorn and watch 14 hours of your favorite show, because guess what? You can. And so you do. 14 hours, people do this, and I don't know if your relationship grew from Downton Abbey with God. I'm pretty sure it hasn't. And you ask, how do you know these things? I'm in the know. I'm in the know of the cool shows on, right? I have no idea if it's a cool show or not. But that seems to be a popular one out there, and there's so many other ones. And if we take our time away from God, what have we done? We've invested more in a TV series that does nothing for you in your relationship with God. It doesn't grow you personally. It doesn't do anything. It escapes you, and that's fine. If you need an escape, then do that. But how do you keep your mind on the things of Christ when you're filling it with all this nonsense and weird stuff? So get rid of the distractions. Get them out, get rid of them, and move on. Secondly, build spiritual disciplines into your life. So we talked about, we did a spiritual discipline series back in July of 2017, okay? Go back online, listen to them, and pick a spiritual discipline and work on that spiritual discipline. They're called spiritual disciplines for a reason, right? We're very good at Netflix disciplines, but we're not good at spiritual disciplines. Let's try to turn that around. And so when it's difficult to keep our mind on Christ, we need to continually look at what the goal is. And the goal is Jesus. Thirdly, how can we keep this godly perspective and pursue a Christian goal without giving up? Keep our eyes on the goal. And like I said, that's Jesus Christ. You see, Paul uses athletic imageries, sports imageries in his letters, and in this one and in other ones. In that time, the winner of Greek races would either get some money or this wreath of leaves that they would, you know, give to them, and it was like, you're the winner, that's their trophy. Paul is saying his prize is not cash or a wreath, a crown of wreaths, but Jesus is the goal. Jesus is that focus. And what is that? It's the glory of God in his life. It's the Spirit of God flowing through him on a regular basis. See, when things are collapsing around you, focus on the goal. And that goal is Jesus. Stand firm in your faith. Keep your mind on Christ and continue towards that goal. And we talked about this earlier. It was never said the Christian journey would be easy. It was never said that it would be a piece of cake, but when apathy creeps in, we struggle. We start to lose interest because of our life situations, because of struggles we're going through, problems we have. How can we shake ourselves from that? How can we get out of that apathy and that pride and that distraction? Well, engage in the mission. Engage in discipleship for yourself and to other believers that need that. And serve. Serve God in what he's doing here. I want to focus on this Rooted series that we're doing in the fall. If you are struggling in your spiritual life, in your walk with God, in discipleship, in learning and growing in your faith, you need to get involved in a life group and do this Rooted course. I'm telling you right now, this is your moment to go, God is telling me something. He's telling you, he wants to be closer with you. And if you're not doing it on your own, this will help. It will help you. This course will help you, this study. It's not like you've got all this, extra work you have to do. There's a little bit of things you have to study, but it's not anything that's going to overload your life. It's not 14 hours of Netflix, okay? You could probably do, 30 minutes of stuff on it, reading and whatever, and come to the next course and sit down and talk with a group. It's community. It's learning from each other. If you want to grow in your faith, you need to do this study. Trust me on it. But if you're struggling in your faith and you don't, that's your fault. It's your fault. Because you have an opportunity to do this. You have an opportunity to grow, and you're not wanting it. And this isn't a heavy. It's just a fact. If you choose not to grow, it's you. It's not God. He's calling. He's asking. He wants you to. He wants you to delve in. He wants you to do what the purpose is in your life here. He wants you to impact others. But the goal is him. And so if you're like him, if you're chasing that goal to be like him, you will find your purpose. And you'll be amazed at what it is because it's staring right in front of you and you don't even know it. Get involved in these life group. Try it out. I can promise you it's going to serve you well in your relationship with God. You know, there's a great quote. It's a guy named Ray Fowler. And he says this, "The Christian life is a race. And there are only three reasons you're not in the race today." Okay, so the Christian life, being disciple, there's three reasons. One, you never started. Pretty self-explanatory. Two, you stopped running because struggles came, cramps, those kind of things. Or three, you're finished because you're not here anymore. That's it. That's what it is. You're not in the race for those three reasons. And if you're still here and you haven't finished, we can rule that third one out, right? If you're still in this room and you haven't finished, you can rule that one out. So if you're not in the race, it means only two things. You've never started or you stopped. Where are you at today? Where are you going, and what are you doing about it? That's the key.